Okay, so sorry I'm late. I have been looking for this room. Zoom decided to move it for some reason. It's always the very first thing I select. I didn't even know the name of the room. I just always pick number one, and I was in the wrong room. And then I was like, man, ain't nobody here. And so I came back out and was looking. I was like, did this room get deleted? For some reason, it's all reorganized. So hopefully someone on my team will take a look into Zoom and see what happened overnight for every one of our Zoom rooms to get, I don't know, mixed up into a new order. That was weird. All right, but we're here. So we're going to be talking about taking big ass action. And I am going to get us started with our first video. Today is the last day that we will be doing this watch party, and then I'm going to actually be teaching you a few things about taking action. And then this is going to set us up perfectly because next month you are getting the course that you all dreamed of. I bet I have answered this question 1,000 times. How do I know if I'm leveling up or if it's diet mentality? What is leveling up? How do I level up without not freaking myself out? These are the questions Corinne answers all the fucking time. So we have developed next month a course on leveling up. How do you level up your basics? How do you know when you're ready? All the things. That is what we'll be doing on Wednesdays all next month. I'll be live teaching this course. So you will not have a bunch of videos to watch first. You will be working with me in live time on Wednesdays. And if you can't watch on Wednesdays, what do? We clap like a baby seal when that replay drops and we get excited and we watch it on our own damn time and we play at 2x speed and we get it done. That's how we level up shitty thinking about not being able to attend a live. It's like it doesn't fucking matter. Every membership I belong to, I don't ever go to a live call. You know why? I want to be able to fast forward through shit that doesn't pertain to me. I want to be able to listen at 2x speed. I want to be able to listen in 10-minute chunks. A lot of my memberships have 2-hour calls. I listen in 10-minute chunks throughout a week or two and get everything I need. So, all right, let us share the screen. Turn on all the things that we have to. This, oops, it's not optimizing for video clip. I'll tell you what, Zoom about to make me mad today. I'm like, Zoom, you're moving buttons around and changing everything overnight. All right. Y'all let me know in the chat or in with a thumbs up if you can see and hear.
We've started to bust past overwhelm and underwhelm and learned how to ditch perfectionism. You are well on your way to getting out of half-ass action and into big-ass action. Now let's talk about the different zones of action and how to stay in the right headspace as you keep working towards your goals. There are three zones we're going to focus on: the comfort zone, the growth zone, and the scared shitless zone. Let's start with the comfort zone. Your comfort zone is where you feel like your anxieties and fears can be managed. You tend to feel like what you're doing is familiar and that you're in control. We have a lot of useful comfort zone activities. For example, I get up each day, drink water, plan my day, work out, shower, and get to work. In the afternoon, I close up shop, make my dinner, settle into some Netflix with Chris. These routines are comfortable and keep my stress levels at a manageable level. They provide consistency and reliability in my life. The best part of the comfort zone is it feels good, but nothing really grows there. And when you are a big ass action taker, you look for things you want to change on purpose so that you can grow. Here's how you know when you are about to or have stepped out of your comfort zone. You begin to feel scared, anxious, stressed, or uncomfortable about doing something. You're likely thinking something negatively about what you're fixing to do. Or you might be in the midst of doing something new and overly focused on what's going to go wrong. These thoughts and feelings are what make leaving the comfort zone hard, and that's good to know. Too many people use those thoughts and feelings as signs to stop or go back to half-assing. Those thoughts and feelings are indicators that you're growing. You just need to listen to what you're thinking and then start challenging it. So I used to be stuck in my overeating comfort zone. For years, I ate a half a roll of cookie dough for dinner. I was quite comfortable doing it because the moment I would start eating, I would not obsess about being behind in my bills. I wouldn't worry about getting laid off from work and being so uneducated, I'd have to get a low-paying job. So I escaped my fears and shame of being overweight and single by eating that cookie dough. Even though the next day I would feel like shit while sitting around thinking I'll never lose weight, that was way more comfortable in the evenings than challenging how I thought about my life. I was used to feeling shame, scared, and hopeless. Getting out of my comfort zone was going to require me to dig into my insecurities, to take big-ass action on learning a new skill in case I was laid off, and unlearning my evening self-talk while not having cookie dough. That would take feelings like honesty, fear, and doubt. Shame and hopeless offered no growth. Honesty, facing my fears, and challenging myself to work through my doubts, that did. But most of us are remaining in our comfort zones because we're scared to try new things. We fear failure, and we make every misstep a personal attack on ourselves. If we just keep doing what we always do, we are at least certain of what to expect from ourselves. So to break free of your comfort zones, you have to engage in what we call intentional change. To make intentional change, you will need to move into what's called your growth zone. But you only have to do that in the areas of your life that matter. You get to keep some of your comfort, but we want to grow in others. And that requires some discomfort, some doubt, some questioning, and it requires you to be open to it. The growth zone is where you are applying just enough challenge, but not so much that you defeat yourself. It's going from not planning your food to trying to plan for 3 days of the week that might be the easiest for you to do it. It's from going from drinking no water to shotgunning 8 ounces of water before your first meal of the day. From thinking you'll never learn your hunger signals to paying attention for a week without expectation of getting your hunger signals right. When you identify things you want to learn, it's time to leave the comfort zone, knowing that if you make this change, it will help you become more of who you would like to be. If you want to be someone who can go to any restaurant, order something they will enjoy, and not overeat, that means the you today must identify your growth zone. Maybe that's pre-planning what you'll order by looking up the menu ahead of time before you go out to eat. This allows you to focus at the restaurant on the pace at which you eat, how much you're going to leave behind on purpose, and letting yourself sit there with the leftover food and feel some normal discomfort because it's new and you have thoughts. By doing these things that bring up doubts and fears, you also give yourself the chance to learn how to become someone who one day knows how to order, eat, and be at ease in any meal. When you're moving into the growth zone on a new habit or behavior, you can use the real questions that we discussed in the earlier video. Do this on paper, and I know you'll get way more benefit out of it than just thinking through all the bullshit that you normally do. What do you imagine it's going to take to move into the growth zone and what it will be like? What is really necessary to get started? What could you think to feel a little better when your fear, your anxiety, worry, or self-doubt kicks in? Now, I want to warn you about the third zone. And unfortunately, most of us vacillate between the comfort zone and this third zone called the scared shitless zone. We skip the growth phase by letting our perfectionistic tendencies and over or underwhelmed thoughts run unchecked. We try to make a daily plan thinking, I can't eat my favorite foods anymore. We decide to increase our water from 0 to 1 gallon and think, I ain't got time to pee all day and then be up half the night. Or we want to get into our no BS work while telling ourselves we need 1 hour a day of uninterrupted time along with a candle, feather, and inkwell to do all of our worksheets. Y'all make doing your no BS work sound like you're going to do some kind of dramatic reenactment of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Basically, the sacred, the scared shitless zone is where you have created rules and expectations that drive your anxieties and fears to a level that your comfort zone seems way better. I see this often with making your daily food plan. You've likely done enough diets in the past that you have an old food rule that you always go back to. For example, maybe you've done a low-carb diet in the past and lost some weight. When you start losing weight again, it's in your comfort zone to make those low-carb meal plans. Even though it never works long-term, your mind says, it's the only one that works. There's no growth there. You just keep going back to what's comfortable. But you're an obese woman, and you want to do things in a new way. The growth zone would be you making doable plans and telling yourself, it is okay to be nervous. I'm learning how to have a trusting relationship with food and weight loss. I'm going to put that bread on that plan. Maybe you add in a few things that you've been too afraid to eat so that you can get used to them. Now, the scared shitless zone would be where you make too many changes to your food before you're ready. You think, well, I'm either low carb or all carb. And then you spend your days obsessing over what might go wrong when you add in carbs. You look for signs of weight gain. You blow your mistakes out of proportion. You overanalyze every piece of bread you put in your mouth. You don't learn anything. You drive up your anxieties by letting your mind run wild. You quickly run back to low carb comfort zone where you feel restricted. And then you do what you always do. Strip out them carbs. And then you quit because it's too hard. And then you blame the diet instead of realizing I was never stretching my mindset. So to combat this, I've given you a helpful worksheet to help you get out of the scared shitless zone. It's called Getting Into the Growth Zone. And the exercise is going to help you figure out the easy and doable things that you can be doing, which includes A-level, B-level, and C-level work that we've discussed. Then I want you to practice figuring out how to stay laser focused on where you're going to get the biggest impact in your weight loss. Whatever that is for you is where you want to start making your changes. I like to pick things when I start any kind of new challenge that are easy to do and that also can have a nice impact on my goal. So just ask yourself, what's easy and what's hard to do to lose weight? What has a low impact on my weight loss, and what has the potential to make a major change? Take a look at your list. Rate those things. Put them in categories, and then start with anything that's easy that might have a big impact. Then you move on to the harder things as you build momentum and trust with yourself. You'll find you'll develop the ability to challenge yourself harder without getting into the scared shitless zone as you start with easy and doable things. Believe it or not, as you keep practicing, what feels like your growth zone today, one day will become your comfort zone. One day you'll notice that making a plan feels easy, and you'll only challenge yourself further if you find growth opportunities in planning. The same will happen with all your basics. Moving to your growth zone is a big-ass action activity. It has you trying and doing. You're giving yourself the gift of seeing just how simple weight loss can be for you.
Okay. We actually have a second video that we're going to watch today. So I need to get that one going. And then I will be sharing additional wisdom that I wrote this morning. Well, I wrote it actually with Yasmin a few weeks ago, but this morning I kind of went in and fluffed and buffed it as I've been reading the Facebook group and discovering new things that y'all need to be hearing.
Over the course of this program, I've shared some of the biggest blocks I see in getting people to take constant and consistent action. In this last lesson, I want to give you a rundown of the 8 common scenarios I see to taking action and how to use your no BS tools to overcome them. First up, you're making your goal too important or not important enough. How you think about your goal is key. Don't make it end all be all. For example, if I don't lose weight, I'll be lonely and unloved the rest of my life. And don't make it an afterthought either. I want to lose weight, but I usually fail. I'll just see what happens. The solution is to go back to the why's exercise and work on creating reasons that are motivating, List as many as you can that help you see the importance without making the goal scary as shit. Second, you think, I need to feel like it to do things you planned. Underwhelmers, pay attention. This thinking is all you. When you hear it, remind yourself that you don't feel like doing a lot of things in your life, but you do them. I rarely feel like taking the trash out, but I do it. Don't allow yourself to put too much importance on feeling like it, or feeling like eating something, or feeling like doing something. So what? Is this the last meal you're gonna get? No, it's not so important. Don't make it that important. Use your food journal prompts in your planner to figure out what might be going on in your head around food. Now third, you minimize the importance of today. This comes up when you think things like, it won't matter, or I'll start tomorrow. It's a red flag that you think the little things aren't enough. You want the cold hard truth? They matter. Fuck, I promise if you won't do the little things, you sure as hell won't do the big ones. The little things are what teach you to show up when things are actually hard. Write in your journal all the ways the little things add up. Tell the story of how small steps and tiny decisions are not only easy to do, but they have a big fucking impact. Now, number four, you're focused on your fears instead of your whys. When you focus on fears, it's because you're worrying. This is a sign to look at your thoughts instead of stewing over them. Use your journal to write all of your worries down and then ask yourself, worry by worry, is this something in my control? If not, that's some thinking you can ignore. If you can control it or part of it, then write about what you can do. Guess what? That's when you take some big ass action with your fears instead of half-assing by worrying. Number five, you're constantly what-ifing yourself to death. What if I don't lose weight? What if this doesn't work? What-ifs are a waste of time, and you need to stop that thinking dead in its tracks. Your weight loss will happen at the speed of you making your next best decision, not at the speed at which you what-if yourself into a food coma. You got two options. Flip the question and write about it. What if I succeed? What if this does work? What if it's easier than I think? Give yourself some good fucking questions and you'll get good answers. The second option, tell your brain to shut the fuck up and take some big ass action. Number six, obsessing over what you can't do or haven't done in the past. This is another time waster in weight loss. What matters most is what you can do and what you're able to do differently today. Use the Do Goals lesson in Module 2 of the No BS course to get laser focused on what to do next. You don't build your future thinking about what didn't work in the past. You build your future thinking about what you are willing to do and think in order to get there. Number seven, swearing you don't know what to do when in reality, you're just scared it won't work. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest. If you're scared it won't work, that's normal, but it ain't an excuse to stop anymore. Remember, this is probably you stepping outside your comfort zone and into your growth zone, so don't freak out. You do know what to do next. Never tell yourself, I don't know. Say, I'll figure it out. Re-listen to Module 1 of No BS. Use the Facebook group or ask coaches to get advice. Make a 24-hour plan. That's always a good next best decision. Take action instead of taking a detour into I don't know land. And last but not least, you lack energy. Get some rest. Make sure you are drinking your water. Evaluate your commitments each and every day and ask for help or say no to some bullshit you need to say no to. And think about moving your body as a way to create some energy for yourself. I highly recommend daily movement, like some walking, maybe some stretching, or anything that you personally enjoy and that your body allows and is up for. One of our members lost over 150 pounds in a wheelchair doing chair yoga and the four basics. Movement helped her stay energized and focused, so she did what she could do. That's big ass action right there. And remember, you may not need boundless energy to just get started. So what can you do to raise your energy levels. That's the best place to start. You're normal if one or more of these things keeps coming up for you. Doesn't matter if you do it or if these things keep coming up. It doesn't matter if they keep coming back in your brain. What matters is how you show up for all of this thinking. Remember, big ass action doesn't mean hard. It doesn't mean time consuming, perfect, or impossible. It is taking the next best step, knowing when to ask for help, and deciding to keep going no matter what.
Okay, so first off, I'm sure anybody listening to the replay is going to be asking the same question, which is like, oh my God, where do we get these 8 really cool things? I'm going to have Betsy check, and then she can say in the chat whether or not this is true, but I really believe that when we create a course like this, we usually give you a guide, and anything important is always in that guide. So things like this, if I had to guess, are probably sitting right there where the worksheets and all the things are. So Barb H, who is a baller, no BS woman, she is like, it is in the guide. Corinne done took care of us again. So there we go. All right. Let us talk all about some other things that are going to get in the way of action. So I came up with 3 things that get in the way of us taking action, and I want to talk about them today. But first, I got to get my screens. I got to get my screens right. I've been trying to do work in between. Everybody be asking me questions while we're watching the videos, and now I've got like 4,000 things pulled up on my screen. I lost us, and I lost my notes. All right, here we are. The first thing that gets in the way, and we call them the traps. There are these 3 traps that get in the way of taking action. And I wanted you to have these 3 traps so that you would know what to do about them. And the first one that I was thinking about is always trying to start on that perfect day, that perfect moment, that perfect season, that perfect week, that perfect month, after this, after that. I can be the queen of saying, I'm going to start this, or I'm going to feel good enough or have enough energy, or insert your bullshit, after this, when this happens. I will tell all of you that is called kicking the can down the road. A long time ago, I really realized that there was not a version of me that was, when, especially if it comes to something hard, there was not going to be a version of me that suddenly was going to wake up one day and be like, today's the day. I'm just so fucking motivated. Today's the day. I have no fears, doubts, and worries. Like something magical must have happened to me. My cat must have came to my face and breathed big cat energy into me over the night. And here I am waking up like a lion. Y'all, that day never seems to come. It is just a thought error that we all have. So realizing I'm not going to be more motivated later to do this thing was really helpful for me. Now, it did not mean that I was going to like be excited when I started, but like the ability to realize like, oh, I'm just lying to myself if I think I'm going to feel any different. Kim, Betsy, I'm sorry. Amanda's trying to do something that's about to kick me, I think, out of, I don't know, Zoom is giving me all kinds of messages. Could you tell her to play with my Zoom account later? Not right now. That would help. Okay, thank you. So I had to realize that like that version of me was not coming, which means if I'm not going to feel any better later about doing it, why not just doing it now? So the other thing that it also, that really made sense to me, because one of the things I've always thought about when I'm like, when I was trying to lose weight, when I'm teaching y'all, is how do we break this down into so many little thoughts, so many perspective shifts, so many little nuggets that we need to where we will feel like doing something. Now, feeling like doing something doesn't equal feeling really excited. It doesn't mean equal it feeling really motivating. Feeling like doing something means, okay, I might as well just get this done now. Like most of us do that all throughout our life. Like I might as well just do this now. Let me just do this little bit. Let me just see if I can make a little progress here. Like I know I can't finish it, but I'm just going to get started. Like we do that with laundry all the time. Like if you've got stacks and stacks of laundry, at some point you're going to probably do a load. Like I might as well just do a load right now. But you never actually are just like, oh my God, I woke up today so excited about the fucking laundry. You know, every day I've not wanted to do it, but today's the day I'm just like, toot, toot, throwing a party. Never happens. So when I started telling myself that I was probably never going to be any more excited about doing this thing, then I could sit and think, okay, then I could have a good enough reason right now to just get started. And the other thing that I realized is that I don't want to wait any more to do things until I'm at the level of disgust. I did this for years. So y'all tell me by like giving me the little like reactions button, how many times have you waited to start losing weight or to finally do your basics, to get back on track after being off track for a little bit? Because for a while, you're just like, I'm not motivated. I don't feel like it. Now's not the right time. Like all these things will come up. But then you wake up one day and you're fucking disgusted. Like you're just like, oh my God. No, we're still on number one, Kirsten. Still not about number one. I don't like, I made a promise to myself. I did not want to spend my life not liking who I was right now and doing nothing about it, or not liking my situation and doing nothing about it simply because I wasn't excited, happy, motivated, or confident. Because I had set myself up to spend my life not wanting to do things, not liking my life, and waiting until I was so upset with myself at my rock bottom moment, hating everything, that the pain of not doing it now outweighed the pain of trying. That was a shit way to live. So for all of us who keep kicking the can down the road to trying to start on a perfect day, week, month, feeling, season, whatever it is, we have to realize the best time to start is the moment that our brain is thinking, should we do this? It's like, we probably should. There's a version of us that's not excited. There's a version of us that's scared, worried they're going to be embarrassed if they fail, worrying it won't work, thinking it's going to be too hard or too much. Yeah, all of that's true to us. But what's also true is sitting around thinking that, or like what's also true is knowing I don't want to put off doing small things anymore so that I have to stay miserable now until I just get so fucking miserable that I force myself to do something different. I'm never giving myself the opportunity to feel some progress, to feel good about myself, to change my situation, to at least exercise some courage, a little bravery, whatever it is. So the trap number one is trying to start with these perfect conditions in mind. They don't come. Perfect conditions are never going to happen. And even if they did, that is the shittiest way to lose weight, the absolute shittiest way. Because if you look at the course of your life, how much of your life have you lived where you're like, I can just list off all the times in my life when everything was perfect. I felt perfect every day. I would go to work and there was only green lights all the way there. Never had traffic. Every person that I thought should love me, not only did they loved me in the right way. I had an abundance of time all the time, was never rushed. None of us have that. It is better for you to lose weight during the imperfect times. Because in the imperfect times, if you can lose weight, then if the perfect day ever comes, you are now on lock. Locked and loaded. You're not wasting a perfect day with, like, and now I got to start something hard. All right. Trap number two, making a mistake, overeating over it, and then feeling too broken to continue. That's trap number two. This is another reason why we stop taking action. I am doing a lot of research on y'all right now on overeating, overeating. I got to come up with a better title, but it's basically there is an epidemic in weight loss where we feel like we have to do things right. We have to have streaks. It's got to be perfect. There's no room for error. Otherwise, it means XYZ. Usually failure, no, you might as well eat, get it out of your system, all these things. You've got to ask yourself, and this is double stuffing like that. This is the thing. You are going to sometimes overeat. It could be daily. You're going to eat, you're going to break your plans. You're going to get tempted and eat something. That is always going to happen throughout the rest of your life, whether you're working, like whether you're working on your weight or not. Even in maintenance, you will overeat at times. In maintenance, you will eat things and be like, oh my gosh, I totally didn't need to eat that. Like, for example, if I say I'm going to go, say Chris and I are going to go out tonight and we're going to go to my bar. And right now, Corinne is like, you don't need nachos. One drink will do. Like in my mind, I have like this idea of what tonight should look like based on the rest of my week. So for like, let's say that I'm just going to tell y'all, it is Alabama week here in the state of Tennessee. We are ranked number four in the nation. I think we're now number four. I think we moved up from five to four in basketball. We also are playing Auburn tonight, who is ranked, and we're playing Alabama on Saturday, who is ranked. So it's like a big Alabama week. Corinne wants to watch her balls. She probably wants to have some drinks. She wants to eat the things. She wants to do all that. Here's what Corinne also knows. Corinne's got a weekend trip coming up, two weekend trips coming up where I'm gonna want to be eating and drinking there too. I do a date night every week. We are fixing to go into the summer. Which means I'm like, y'all know me. My little trips to Vegas are going to amp up. Drinking's going to amp up. The things are going to happen. Right now, Corinne knows that she cannot afford to be drinking and eating whatever she likes tonight just because she had to go wait. But, and I want to do that on Saturday. The Alabama game is way more important to me. So, if I go tonight, I might end up eating something that I'm like, oh. Like right now, I'm envisioning a grilled chicken salad. Let's say I go tonight and it's quiz night and everybody's, or and it is quiz night and the Auburn game's going to be on and everybody's ordering cheese sticks and nachos, pretzel bites, dill pickle fries. It will be all around me at my restaurant. And I start eating it. What we have to remember is that even in those moments, if I start eating it, I have two choices. Realize that I'm doing it and remind myself, yeah, you really want to save this for this weekend. Let's wait until this weekend. Just we don't need to eat anymore right now. Or I can be like, fuck it. I've already started. This weekend, she can be the one who doesn't drink and eat. She can be the one that's going to have her back on making sure she's at her goal weight going into the summer, whatever that is. Y'all, I don't want to piss all over Saturday, Corinne, just because Wednesday night, Corinne got carried away a little bit. So I have a choice in that moment, just like y'all. Are we going to eat? Because we ate, or and I get it. We feel bad about it. When you catch yourself, y'all, I don't feel as bad when I catch myself anymore. And let me tell you why. It took years and years and years of feeling bad about it, and but pausing and having a new reaction to feeling bad about an overeat. This is one of the things we're going to be teaching a little bit later in the summer. But one of the things that we have to remember is If you screw up, the likelihood that you are going to think amazing things and be really calm and just be able to push pause and be like, you know what, I don't have to overeat because of this, in the early stages is low to none. I don't need you to quit beating yourself up. I need you to quit reacting to overeats with another overeat. If you want to beat yourself up and feel bad, then you owe it to yourself to say, like, look, I haven't solved that problem yet, but I can solve the reaction to what just happened. I can take a new action. Just because I think shit about myself doesn't mean I have to eat. And every one of you have the ability to do this. You all know how to pause when you feel really bad. Think about it this way. How many of you have been in a situation where someone said something that hurt your feelings? Like, tell me, how many of you have been in a place where your feelings got butt fucking hurt? You might have even been like, you could have been in a meeting and someone didn't appreciate you. You could have been standing in the break room and someone made some, like, they didn't mean it, but they made some comment about, well, I know you're going to want the donuts. I mean, you always eat them and you're probably off your diet anyway, right? You go to a family thing and you're standing in front of people and you're just feeling humiliated, embarrassed, and ashamed. You want to cry. You want to say, fuck you. Read my middle finger, like read between the lines, bitch. You want to throat punch someone. But what do you do? Like, you're right. I guess I will have a donut. Or you sit there and you smile, choke back the tears, and act like it didn't bother you at all. You go to your room and you cry because you can't just go to the kitchen and eat because everybody's still awake. They would see you drowning your tears in donuts and ding dongs. That's called pausing, motherfucker. And every one of you are good at it. Every one of you are good at it. You have places in your life where you pause all the time. All the time. You can do it here too, because it only requires a decision. It's like, I feel like shit. This hurts. I want it real bad. Whatever it is, when you overeat and you think all the things, you'll never lose weight. Why you even bother trying? You suck at this. You should have done better. Like when your brain does all that, that is the exact moment you say, like, okay, I obviously feel really shitty about this. But I don't eat over it anymore. I will not overeat over overeats anymore. I will not overeat something because I think I made a mistake. Even, and you can even tell yourself, I might believe I can't lose weight. I'm like, I totally, like, I feel terrible about myself in this moment, but I don't eat over it. So buck up, feel bad, whatever you need to do, but we're not going to eat. When you start doing that, this is what ends up happening. Eventually, one day, so this is what will really happen. Phase one, you do that, you start losing weight because you're not overly screwing up all the time. Weight loss doesn't require perfection eating, but you cannot lose weight when you are sitting there taking a shotgun to all four tires of your car, wondering why you can't get down the street. If you get a flat, don't blow out the tires. If you get a flat, change the flat. Pull over, call for help. Do something productive. So if you overeat, get in to ask coaches. Tell them what happened. If you haven't tried our new Ask Coaches, you need to go try it. You can post, and they're going to talk to you. And you can come back to your post and ask another question. You can have back and forth dialogue now. It is like literally having a one-on-one coach right in your pocket. There's no other place where you can get that level of support. And it's real coaches. It's not bullshit. It's my people that you see on these calls and stuff. They're the ones helping you. You can move along with the day. If you make a mistake, you just tell yourself, why not keep going as planned? Rather than saying, like, why do I always do this? Who gives a fuck? You can solve that later. You know what the big problem is in the moment? Am I going to eat over this or am I going to move on? So you want to make sure that what you're doing is you don't overeat over overeats. That will keep you taking action. It will allow you to keep moving forward. You're just going to do the next thing. All right. So, trap number two was you make a mistake, you eat over it, and then you feel too broken to continue. Instead of make a mistake, maybe talk some bullshit to yourself or not, but you don't eat over it. Then you are going to wake up the next day more motivated to keep going. Most of you wake up the next day so unmotivated, not because of the original overeat, but because the blowout diaper that you had once you had the overeat. Trap number three, thinking too far into the future. This is the next one. Your feelings will tell you where you can lessen fear and overwhelm when you're thinking about stuff. So let me explain how this goes. A lot of you, when you start thinking about weight loss, you start thinking about all the things you're going to have to do for like the next year. You start envisioning like 1,000 things that are going to have to be done in order to lose weight. When there's not 1,000 things that have to be done, there's literally very few. You need to drink your water each day. You need to get into the habit of putting your ass to bed like a toddler. You need to question if you're hungry. You need to question when you've had enough. You need to pay attention to your patterns. If you're eating outside of hunger and enough, you need to go to ask coaches. Let them help you dissect it so that can end. And then the last thing is, I think you should all be making a 24-hour plan, because what most people do is they don't give themselves enough guardrails in weight loss. You either give yourself too many or not enough. And I want you to have the just right guardrails. Too many guardrails are when you're following a plan that only allows you to do this one way, this one method. Like, you can't eat these things. You have to eat this. It needs to be at these times. It's got to be within these ranges and all this other stuff. There's no room for error there. Those types of diets do not work unless you actually are perfect. That's why they're the most dangerous diets of all to do. Because we don't have perfect lives. We're not going to always be able to do all of these eating plans perfectly. And most of us don't even want to. We only want to do them because we think we're going to lose weight. But then when we look at it and be like, all right, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. There's no deviating. There's a part of you that's like, well, I mean, I'll do it till I lose weight. We'll see what happens for the rest of our life. The other thing is giving yourself no guardrails. None. Where you're just doing what you want on any whim. That's why I like to give you the middle. The 24-hour plan is the middle. It's where we're making sure that our food plans each day are well thought out, that they are not punishing, that they give us enough food to have the energy that we need depending on the day ahead of us, that there is enough, if you love cooking, so that you can be a foodie and explore all that. If you have no time at all, your food plan can accommodate a busy person's schedule. It can include the takeout, all the things. And so I need you to be thinking about this. It's when we're thinking too far into the future. We're sitting there, we're thinking about all the things that we have to do. And I want you to start thinking this way. How far in advance do I need to think about my weight loss that gets me into action? When I start, like for some of you, like planning for a week is great. Thinking about how much you're going to lose this weight, how the week is going to go, that's great. And but I will say this, that is a time frame taught by the diet industry, and it basically started with Weight Watchers. The weekly weigh-in. There is no magic in thinking about an entire week. In fact, there's no magic in weight loss, even thinking about a goal weight. You can, and you can target one. And if it helps you figure out the person you want to be, great. But sitting around thinking about that all the time won't get you to lose weight. This is where we have to check in with our nervous system. So there's like three things that I would think about. Am I like when I think about weight loss, am I better suited to think about the week, the day, or meal by meal? And that fluctuates. So like sometimes in life, I'm more motivated. Like right now in my work, for example, I got a lot of content to write for y'all. You know, we've got the body image camp coming up. We have another camp in the fall. If you haven't signed up for the body image camp, y'all, do not forget to do it because let's say the camp price is increasing on March 1st, which is this Friday. And we also dropped a bonus. If you don't know, the Judith Guiton, she's going to be in May helping all of us dress our body at any size because a lot of you are losing weight, but nobody should be waiting until they lose weight to be comfortable in their clothes and in their skin. And so she's a style expert. She's wrote a book, done all kinds of stuff. She is going to be teaching a course all through the month of May, but she added a bonus for campers. For all of the campers, she is going to do special calls each week where you can come on and you can work through like your like clothing shame or your inability to let go of your skinny clothes or inability to let go of your, you know, what we call the fat clothes, all the things. She's going to be working in the with the group that's coming to camp for all of you that are coming to camp, whether you're virtual or in person. So make sure you get signed up. But so back to thinking too far into the future. One of the things that I think is important is for you to realize there are some weeks where like right now, where I am planning my work and everything 2 to 3 weeks out in advance, because when I do that, I actually feel calmer. I'm like, okay, I can see everything I'm going to need to do. I have looked at it on my calendar. I know I have the time now to get it done. It triggers me to feel safe. Then there are other times where doing that makes me feel overwhelmed. And there's a lot of changes happening. So I don't plan far out in advance. On those times, I take it day by day. I'm like, okay, for today, here are the things I need to get done. So when it comes to weight loss, the way it would look like is for some of you, there are just times in life where it's like, okay, like for the summer example, as you all know, in the 1st of June, I don't know if we have the date set. We can get that to y'all, but we will be doing our big summer workshop for everyone. It's included with your membership. It is like from 9 to 2. Usually we do it on a Saturday or a Sunday. And it's a workshop where we get ready for the summer. And I am right now rewriting that program from last year. There's a few things I want to cover this year that's very different than last year. So usually what happens is in that class, a lot of people feel very comfortable thinking about their summer. This is the goal. This is how, like, these are the vacations I'm going on. Like, I like thinking kind of big picture. I want to make sure I go into the summer feeling like ready, like I've thought about it, and that I've uncovered all of my obstacles. But then there are times when it's like that's too much. Like right now, a lot of you might be just like, you know what I need to do? I need to just make a daily plan. I can't think about this weekend, if I could just nail today, I'd feel better. So I need to make a reasonable, doable plan today. And then there are days that we take it meal by meal. We are at a place in our life where everything feels so overwhelming. It's like, could I just today start the day off with a solid, healthy breakfast with some water? And then when it gets lunchtime, I will deal with lunch when I get there. There is no shame in any of it. One of the things that we have to look at is we are not going to feel the same every day. Every day. When your nervous system feels capable of waiting, do that. Are capable of thinking further down the road, planning more, lean in. On the days when you're like, the best I got is to think about today. I can't even think about tomorrow. Lean in and do that for yourself. And then on the days where you're like, look, it is hour by hour. I am in a season of life where I need to take it meal by meal and figure out what I can do at each meal, then do that. Those are taking positive actions in weight loss. The only way you're not making progress is when you're taking no action, when you're sitting back, when you're just waiting, hoping, judging yourself for doing nothing. So if you're listening to this right now and you're struggling right now, I want you to take it meal by meal today. It is 11 o'clock in the morning. What can you do about lunch? Can you go to bed on time tonight? Can you go grab a glass of water right now? The littlest actions make you feel a little bit better. Don't dismiss those. Do not sit there and confuse that you've got to do all of it to lose weight. No. You've got to take, like, if you want to feel a little bit, I want you to think about this. If you want to feel a little bit better, then you only need to do a little thing and you'll feel a little bit better. And let that build and compound. But if you want to feel better and you keep telling yourself you've got to do everything, you're going to do nothing. You're going to get overwhelmed. And you're going to feel exactly the way you do right now. You'll make no progress. So stack some little wins. And the best time to stack wins is starting immediately, as soon as you can. So here's my challenge to all of you. There's a lot of you on this call. I want you to, for as many of you that can, I want you to go to Facebook and I want you to just tell everyone what today, like right now, this is the one positive action that I knew that I could do the second this call ended. I don't care if it's going and grabbing a glass of water or whatever. I want you to think about it right now. Type in the chat, what is one thing that you can do the second this call ends that you know if you did it, you'd feel just a little bit better, that you will feel like you got off your ass and did something positive for your weight loss today, instead of like, well, I'm just gonna, like, that all makes sense, Corinne, but I just feel so bad. I'm just so dejected. I'm just so in the toilet. You gotta do something. If you don't do something, you're not gonna feel better. You're not gonna just wake up. I do not want you waiting until you feel so horrible that you're forced to do something for yourself. Let's stop waiting for that. All right. That is it for today. Don't forget, I started a challenge last week too called the Not Good Enough Challenge. Because I will bet you all of these things that y'all are putting in the chat, the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about doing just one little thing to immediately get into action is like, yeah, well, that won't be good enough. Let's just see. I always love it when my brain tells me this won't be good enough. I'm like, well, let's just see. Let's just see if taking some kind of fucking positive action yields a terrible result. Usually it doesn't. All right. Y'all have a good one. See you soon. Bye, y'all.